Welcome to the Darling Download on SEN Track.
And a very good morning. Welcome to the Darling Download on this Derby Day weekend. The Golden Eagle in a seven-race program tonight at Clifford Park. And one man, no doubt, looking forward to it, hopefully with a number of winners, is Shane Chelio. Good morning, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm going well, Mark. It's hard not to be excited. I think Cox Plate is probably my favourite race, but Derby Day is definitely my favourite race day. It's a massive day's racing across the country, and I'm really looking forward to it today.
Yeah, and it sounds like you've picked up better than you were earlier in the week. That's fair to say. You're feeling better today than you were a couple of days ago.
Yeah, well, I started getting crook Saturday morning, and I actually watched the last few races in bed at Toowoomba on Saturday night because I was feeling terrible, probably exacerbated by my performance on the tip and on betting, but I'm starting to come good now, so.
Yeah, well, you saw...
Feeling dangerous.
That's good. You saw seven races at Toowoomba, all women jockey winners, which was... A milestone event for Toowoomba, as it doesn't happen too often. It will in the future, but it hasn't up until now.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to hear that it hasn't happened before up here. The girls dominate the cards normally anyway. Obviously always got good books of rides between them. And it's not something I take a lot of notice of. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. It's actually the opposite. I sort of don't look for if it's a female or a male jockey. I think well past the days of having to have, you know, Ms. in the form guides to identify females as opposed to males, because the girls are just as dominant in this sport as anywhere else. We see it all across the country, don't we? Female jockeys are riding winners all over the place. It's just, I was actually a little bit surprised that it was the first time that's happened. And like you said, I don't think it'll be the last. And the girls have got a good book of rides too here. Tonight, so it'll be interesting to see how many in a row they can string together.
As you mentioned, Derby Day, it's a great weekend. We'll talk about the card a little bit later in the program, of course. So we're going to speak with Jake Capel, who is training Sir Warwick. Chris Nelson and I spoke to him on the Punters Mate yesterday, so we'll hear from Jake. It's a great story there. He's the brother of Kurt Capel, who won a premiership with Penrith earlier this year and is joining the Brisbane Broncos. And we'll chat with the chairman as well. But on Tuesday, it's a big day. Melbourne Cup's always a big day, but it's massive for Toowoomba Racing if incentivised can do that Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup double.
Yeah, and no reason why he can't. Currently $2.30 favourite, and in the meantime, a lot of his rivals have been reported to be having some issues and some soreness and some issues getting scanned and vetted and everything else down there. And meanwhile, incentivised is just going through his work and... he's a short price favourite, and so he should be. It's exciting. Like, you almost anticipate he'll just turn up and win. It's a big story.
It is a big story. Now, let's have a look at some of the other horses around at the moment with Toowoomba connections. Of course, Apache Chase won the Wheatwood a couple of weeks ago and now goes around in the Golden Eagle.
Look, once upon a time, you wouldn't have thought the Queensland form would line up in such big races down south, but we're seeing it over and over again this season, aren't we? So, we've had Emerald Kingdom and Star Tontes from the Heathcote Yard go down to Sydney and equip themselves pretty well. I think this horse is a lot better than those two. It's going to get a firm track. It's going to be on speed. It suits its racing pattern and certainly going to be hard to get past. Obviously, it's a great race, a great strong field with some genuine group one horses in it. So it's up to its eyeballs in it though. It's going to be out in front making its own luck and it'd be getting a big cheer from the locals, no doubt.
Now, Go Wonji, Warwick a couple of weeks ago was, I think, one of your specials, wasn't it, at Warwick? Warwick Cup Day, yeah. And yeah. Didn't salute that day, but since then, come to town and is going okay.
Ran its last 1,000 metres in like 56.6 seconds and looked like he had no idea what he was doing. He was on the bridle and he's got so much improvement in him. Even though he's a five-year-old, he's a long way from the bottom of him. I understand I've had a few calls myself actually and understand that there have been a few big offers come in from Hong Kong and from down south. That obviously these Victorian trainers are taking a lot more notice of what's going on in Queensland on Saturdays and this is another horse that I think a few have identified and wouldn't mind getting their hands on. So exciting times for this horse. It's a sort of horse that could go and win a race like the Gateway, which gets you which is in December, which gives you a free ticket to the Stradbroke in the winter. So he profiles like a horse that could sort of go and have a crack at the Gateway and try and win himself into a Stradbroke. A very nice horse.
And Flash R.
Flash R heads to the Cantala, Group 1 over a mile today at Flemington. Look, obviously, big class rise, but this horse has shown, that it's got plenty of ability. Look, he'll go around the outside of the field, I'm no doubt, but I'm sure it'll beat a few home, and I think it'll probably start. I think the last $150 winner was Tears I Cry back in 2007. He'll probably start longer than this, so better just squirrel a couple of dollars on it just in case we've seen stranger things.
And big day for Matty Wishart too, who's down there with the horse and to be able to ride in a Group 1, one of the highlights of her career, no doubt. But, a massive weekend. Derby Day, Golden Eagle, of course, the Melbourne Cup on Tuesday, and plenty of Toowoomba interest in all those big races and Group 1s over the weekend. We're going to take a break. Other side of the break, we'll come back and hear from Jake Capel, who is a young trainer who has a horse, Sir Warwick, that's won four in a row. He's the brother of Kurt Capel. And very soon, if Sir Warwick starts winning some big races and people get on board, Kurt may be Jake's brother rather than the other way around. So we'll hear from him. We've got the chairman as well. And, of course, your tips a little bit later in the program. This is the Darling Down Low, Mark Braybrook and Shane Chirley on a Saturday morning. All thanks to Aquas, Queensland's largest stallion facility, home to Pierrata, Invader, Brave Smash, Dubious and more. Visit aquasfarm.com.
You're listening to the Darling Down Low on SEN Track.
Saturday morning, a seven race program tonight at Clifford Park. We'll get Shane Chirlio's tips a little bit later in the program. Last week, of course, as we mentioned before the break, 7 from 7 for our females jockeys last week. And I reckon Shane has an idea that they may make it 8 from 8. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, yesterday on the Punter's Mate, Shane, we caught up with Jake Capewell, who is training Sir Warwick. Just another horse from the Darling Downs that is making a name for itself in racing circles.
Yeah, hasn't this horse been enormous since it came here? Now, I've got a little bit of a sob story about a lot of horses in betting, I suppose. But Internifies was my best ever, being on it in a maiden at Toowoomba when it got beat 15 lengths. But I was on Sir Warwick, and I wasn't the only one. Resuming at Toowoomba for Jake, and it was scratched at the barriers. Heavily back favourite, scratched at the barriers, and then it has since gone out and obviously it went to Eagle Farm after that and won around $6 quote, and then it won again at $8 and $4 the next start. They didn't miss it last time, last week at Doom, and did they on that Saturday run there? It was favourite and killed them.
Yeah, it's extraordinary that we've had these stories come up, so it seems to me to be so regularly from this winter carnival. Incentivised, of course, as you mentioned, beaten by 15 lengths maiden at Toowoomba. Now it's the shortest of favourites for the Melbourne Cup in living memory. And we've got Sir Warwick has won four in a row, Apache Chase, the Golden Eagle this afternoon after winning the Wheatwood, etc. But the fact that horses can literally come from nowhere and turn themselves into superstars overnight has just been arguably the story of the winter into the spring so far, I think.
I'm sure it has. And, I think there's plenty to come out of that too, isn't there? Like, and we're not talking about, Queensland's most dominant stables producing these horses either. Obviously Steve Tregay is just, basically an owner, breeder, trainer, isn't he? In his own right, he's up here poking around at Toowoomba, produces one like that. Obviously, Jake, who probably, fair to say that Jake's probably, got a pretty good reputation as like a breaker and a pre-trainer working with young horses. But, he certainly showed that he can handle an older sort of bit of a rogue too, this horse was, I believe, when it first came to him. So, there's plenty going on. I probably should mention Hinge too, which was a horse that was with Michael Nolan that was purchased out of Queensland too this season. And obviously just missed in a big race in Sydney and then ran really, really well at Caulfield when it was unlucky. So,
Yep. And then
there's plenty of big stories.
Flash R as well, which we spoke about earlier. But anyway, yesterday, as I mentioned, Chris and I spoke with Jake Capewell, a name that is very famous in Queensland rugby league circles, and we found out all about Jake and Sir Warwick.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Now, before I ask you all about yourself, tell me, how did you pick up Sir Warwick?
So Sir Warwick, he came up from Melbourne. He obviously had a stack of embargoes on him. He came to me through Scott McAlpine, so Patrick Ferrugia, who's a 50% owner in the horse. Him and Scott know each other through Harry McAlpine and Patrick's daughter, Jane. That's how it came to me. Scott sort of put them on to me to just say that we do a bit of re-education work. They made the call, and a week later the horse arrived.
What was your immediate reaction when you first set eyes on the horse and first got to work with the horse?
Look, he was a nice horse. Obviously, I knew a bit of background about him by the time he arrived. By Written Tycoon, was pretty excited to, get the hands on him, really. You never know what to expect. But he had a lot of bad habits, just basics. A lot of the basics that he would have once been taught, he'd sort of gone away from, and he'd sort of, it was a lot of little things away from the barriers that we started to work on straight away, because we identified that these things that he would have been taught along the way somewhere, he just forgot to use them, basically.
Did you expect to have the success with him that you've had?
No, not at all. We start out with those horses, and our grand final is to get them back to the races.
Yep.
That's... For us, we take a lot of pride in that itself. So to have a horse go on and win a race, it's icing on top. To win four in a row, well, you could have never imagined that at all.
Yeah, and the way that he's won those races, he's gone to the front and a couple of those times. Two back, he was absolutely dominant, just charging away from them. Where does he go from here? Has he gone for a break, or is there more racing to come?
Give him a little bit of a freshen up now, and we'll make a decision on whether we go to the paddock with him. We'll just see how he fares after about a 10-day freshen up. Mm-hmm. We'll run some bloods on him, and we'll just have a good sit down and think, make a bit of a plan going forward. And if we think the best plan is to go to the paddock, that's what we will do. We've sort of, the whole way along, even after his first start, we've sort of said that if he gives us the slightest reason to go to the paddock, that's what we would do, because the horse had five trials before we got him back to the races also, so it's been quite a probably strenuous preparation, really. We haven't done much with the horse in between runs, because we do know in the back of our minds that he has had those trials as well. So we're basically just going to be guided by the horse. There is a couple of nice races that will in a couple of weeks' time, which will be about 4 weeks, 4 weeks and 5 weeks in between runs. So if he comes back from this freshen up and he's where we want him to be, that's where we will head.
Now, for listeners not familiar with yourself, what's your background?
So I'm from Charleville. Grew up out there. Went to boarding school for year 11 and 12 at Ipswich. I went back out west for the year after school. Then I went to the Territory for a few years. Come home from the Territory, working on cattle stations up there. I went to Brett Kavanagh's at Albury. Did a season with Brett, breaking in and shoeing and, basically just whatever he needed of us down there. We were taking horses to the races. Brett had about 70-odd horses in work at that stage at Albury. So we went there, and then we moved back to Toowoomba. We started our own breaking in pre-training business here in Toowoomba. And we've, since then, we bought a spelling farm also. So we got a breaking in and pre-training business at the spelling farm. We rent about 50 stables all up over at the Barham Training Centre here at Toowoomba. And we run our breaking in and pre-training business out of there with the spelling on the side. And also now we're sort of, started to delve into a bit of training as well.
Now, Jake, Capewell is a very famous surname in Charleville. You've got to be related, don't you?
Yeah, we are. We definitely are. Kurt's my youngest brother, so there's four of us.
And Luke, and yeah, okay.
So, and Luke's a cousin. So Luke
he's a cousin,
age.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a cousin. So he's the same age as me. We went to school together in Charleville also, yeah.
Now, for Chris, who's from Melbourne, Kurt Capel, of course, just won the premiership with the Penrith Panthers and is coming to the Brisbane Broncos, and they just changed the name of Charleville to... Oh, they've done it a couple of times, haven't they? Mate, when Kurt was picked in Origin, now we got the key to the city last week or a couple of weeks ago, so you'd be, you know, the Capel family is or basically owns Charleville.
The royal family.
Yeah, I do. I'm not sure anyone's ever been given the key to the city. It's probably a first, to be honest. But, oh, look, Charleville is a great, great community. And, everyone's pretty close out there. Like, all of, everyone knows everyone out there. So, look, yeah, they do all know the Capewells. Obviously, Kurt's he's flying the flag high for sportsmen to look up to, for the kids out there and that sort of stuff. And it's good. Like, the community's really embraced it. And, Zorro, the mayor out there, he's a great family friend. And he's making sure that it gets the recognition that it deserves, I guess, to go on and do what Kurt's done with his football. Kurt's obviously really grateful for it. And it's probably a little bit, surreal, or at times you're sort of like, what's going on here? But if it was someone else in the community, it'd be the same thing,
Country towns are very close. Yeah, 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 100% right. But, mate, if Sir Warwick continues on this path, the way other horses out of Toowoomba have been of late, vis-a-vis incentivised, you might find yourself next time I chat with Kurt, I might say, mate, are you Jake's brother? You know, that's...
That's right. That'd
he would hate that.
There might be even more reason to do it. Get him on with Paddy and Heels one morning and talk about Jake and Sir Warwick. Mate, thanks so much for your time. When I saw the surname there, I thought, I wonder. And then when you mentioned Charleville, I thought it has to be. It has to be a relation. So, mate, enjoy the ride. We'll keep an eye out and good luck. And thanks so much for your time this morning, mate.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me on. And if you get the chance to slip that one into Kurt, make sure you do.
Oh, absolutely.
He will.
Dramas at all. Good on you, mate. Well, there you go, mate. When I saw that name, Capewell, I thought, could it be? And as soon as he said Charleville, as I said then, it had to be the Capewell. So what a year they're having. Kurt winning a premiership, now back at the Brisbane Broncos for 2022 as well. And Jake having a bit of a run and a bit of a golden time there with Sir Warwick. So it's a pretty big sporting family. It's remarkable how the bush produces so many of these great stories.
Yeah, it's unreal, isn't it? It's interesting to see what happens in the future, I suppose. I know it's been pretty well documented about, the exodus of population and sport, from those bush areas. But as you said, they've produced so many, good sportsmen and even horse people. A lot of good horse trainers have come from country Queensland, haven't they? And obviously Peter Moody being one of them. So,
yep.
It's plenty happening in that space anyway, so it's exciting.
It is. We better take a break here on the Darling Downlows. Still plenty more to come on the program. And don't forget, it's all thanks to Aquis, Australia's leading stallion facility. A break and back with more.
You're listening to the Darling Download on SEN Track.
Saturday morning, another seven race card tonight at Clifford Park. And we've got the chairman online. Kent Waterford, good morning, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. How's yourself?
Good.
Boys, going well?
Very well. Well, I'm okay. Shane's got the sniffles, has all week, so he's a bit sooky.
Fair dinkum. Where would he got the sniffles from? It's summer time.
Most probably reactive. All the pollen in the air, is it?
Please.
It's just been this temperature change.
You
30 degrees yesterday.
You wouldn't pollen in front of your computer in the lounge room, I wouldn't think.
The air conditioning might be too cold.
Fair point.
Now, Kent, last week, what a night. Seven races, seven of Queensland's best female jockeys winners.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, first time in Toowoomba's history, and I think about the second in Queensland or Australia's history. So, it's probably that day's been coming. They're obviously a massive part of the landscape today, and... Yeah, no, there's some very good riders amongst them, and it was great to see. So that they rode from the start to the finish and got the chocolates.
And Shane, you reckon it might continue tonight with the first as well? We'll get your tips in full later, but Ange Jones, a big chance in race one. We could have 8 from 8.
Yeah, it's a big chance. I think Ange has got a great book of rides, and you know, the girls look to have a very, very strong hand again. There's no doubt about that.
Now, we'll get your tips.
No, exactly.
Yeah, we'll get your a couple of specials from you, Kent, very shortly, but it would be remiss of us not to mention Incentivise on Tuesday in the Melbourne Cup. I mean, it would be massive for Toowoomba Racing if a horse that was beaten 15 lengths on debut at Clifford Park can turn it around a few months later and win the Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup double. It's what dreams are made of.
Yeah, no, exactly right. No, the club, and I think the whole of Toowoomba's very eagerly awaiting Tuesday, and I think it's added special interest into a day, which obviously does have a massive amount of interest, being the Melbourne Cup, but I think it's certainly, you know, everyone, even away from racing, you go to a coffee shop, they all want to talk about Incentivise, you know, and it certainly is a dream come true, and I don't think I've ever seen a horse rise through the ranks so quickly, like you say, to be competing in to winning a Sunshine Coast, getting beaten in Toowoomba with admittedly bad luck, but then moving to Sunshine Coast and never been beaten since, and, you know, 3 Group 1s in amongst that, and the Caulfield Cup being one of them, and it's the favourite for the Melbourne Cup, so certainly it's something you could write no script. So no, it's amazing, and Clifford Park will be cheering.
Absolutely. It's going to be hard to beat, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think it's just flying, the horse, isn't it? You know, it just seems to take every obstacle put in front of it, and, you know, you just sort of think it can sort of sit up there on the pace, and, you know, I personally don't think the 3200 will be a problem. I think they've always sort of wanted to get it out to the trips. They sort of feel it's probably, you know, goes better the further it goes. So, you know, like the other day, certainly didn't look like it had enough on the line to me. It just charged through the line. They took a fair bit to pull him up. So, you know.
It wasn't stopping.
So it wasn't like they were taking any ground off it on the line. And, you know, and he sort of, you know, he was pretty kind to it over the last little bit too. So, no, I think, you know, can be up there, and I think when they swing for home, if he hits the front, you know, I just really think they're going to have awfully trouble running him down. So, yeah.
And, of course, we can take some credit too, can't we, with the fact that in the Golden Eagle this afternoon, Apache Chase, Wheatwood Handicap winner, and now in a $7.5 million race.
Yeah, exactly right. Again, it's great every year if we, you know, if the form out of our big day, B-Hale's up, and it's great to see to get them sorts of horses, you know, leading up to you know, using the Wheatwood as a lead-up and that to going on to these big races. So it's amazing. He's a nice horse, Apache Chase, and I wish him all the best down there in the Golden Eagle. And, yeah, no, it's great to see him. It was a dominant win in the Wheatwood, and he's kicked on since then as well too. So, again, he's obviously going to be very, very competitive in that race. And good luck. The owner was an extremely a lovely fella to, you know, when he was up here with his horse. And, you know, he's rung and been supportive of the club since. So, no, it's great to see him. And I wish Desley Forster and him all the best on today on the Eagle.
Yeah, we had Desley on the punter's mate yesterday with Chris Nelson. She is down in Sydney. She actually drove down with the horse yesterday. And so she's going to have to do all that that quarantining when she comes home. But if you win a $7.5 million race, it'll be worth it, won't it, to quarantine
yeah,
for
exactly.
2 weeks?
Yeah, no, you're certainly about it. Hey? I'm sure you could find what you need with the commission or the percentage out of 7.5. I'm sure the 2 weeks wouldn't be too hard to handle.
Not at all.
I'm sure you'd get that.
You'd be quarantining in a penthouse somewhere, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, and I'm sure you could put yourself in the right sort of surroundings to make sure the 2 weeks was as pleasant as possible.
Now, we've got a 7 race card tonight, Kent. What do you like?
Mate, I am gonna go for race 1, number 1 for Miami. Again, Angela Jones, I think we'll do the 8 out of 8. Good run the other day, I think it'll be winning. Then I'll go over into the 3-year-old handicap, and I like Because the Night of Paul Nolan Jr.'s there. So I think they're my two bets.
You can change if you want. Because
this is where we have to insert.
Because
the great minds.
You can change, because I think Shane and I, we were discussing before we came on air, and we won't give all his tips away for later, but I can tell you that we're both like what you've said in the first for my Annie.
Oh, God.
And, well, yeah, you don't mind.
That's a bit frightening.
Well, you don't mind going with me, though, do you? I mean, it's
no, no, no. You're right. No, yeah. I'll ride that train. I just don't know about the other one. You know.
And he does like Because the Night, I think, as well. But, yeah, look, and how good has Angela Jones been going? We're trying to work out before, mate. She'd have to lose her claim soon. She just seems to be riding winners for fun. What did you say, Shane? 20-something percent, about 20% success rate at the moment.
She's you know, she just seems to win wherever she goes, don't she? You know,
yeah.
And again, it's full credit to her. She took a chance to ring up Lindsay Hatch, you know, looking for this career from a cattle station, I think, background her parents have or something. So, you know, so she sort of took the leap of faith, and obviously that's the career she wanted, and she has worked very, very, very hard to get where she's got. She's a great kid. Her work ethic, you know, she's certainly reaping the rewards of hard, and you know, Lindsay and Tracy Hatch do an amazing job with their apprentices as well too. You know, they really do give them every opportunity to be a success. They do have a great track record with that. So I think, yeah, it's a full credit to all of them. And I think the journey's going to continue. I mean, so she's obviously heading in an upward direction. And I got no doubt that, you know, we'll be seeing her in Brisbane in no time short. Obviously, don't want to see her leave Griffith Park. But I think the claim, like you say, we'll have to go at some stage. So, yeah, no. Now onwards up with Angel, and very well done to her.
Absolutely. We talk about the horses that have come from Toowoomba, got the start in Toowoomba and country racing and regional racing. It won't be long before she's riding in town on a regular basis, I don't think, Ange, as well, because she's been unbelievable to start her career. Well, mate, race one, number one, race three, number one tonight. Enjoy the races, and we'll catch up with you next Friday if we can, mate, and enjoy the cup and watching and cheering home Incentivise on Tuesday.
Good on you. Thanks very much. Go Incentivise.
Yeah, there he is. Kent Woodford, the chairman of the Toowoomba Turf Club. And we can't underestimate, really, Shane, can we, how big it is for Toowoomba Racing if Incentivise gets up on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's, look, obviously a flagship horse for the operation up here. Like, there's a lot of horses that are trained up here, obviously, and a lot of trainers that use Clifford Park as a training complex. But, well, it'll certainly give it a kick along anyway. That's there's no backwater up here, that's for sure. We produce Saturday winners, you know, almost weekly, don't we? Down in town and in Brisbane, and you know, to be able to get one on the big stage, obviously it's with Moody now, but yeah, it'll be as big as it can be. And there's a non-TAB meeting actually at Toowoomba on Melbourne Cup Day, so I anticipate that a lot of people that are interested in racing, great opportunity for them to get along and watch it on track. I'm sure there'll be hundreds there cheering on the same horse. So it'll be a great atmosphere out there on Tuesday, no doubt.
Absolutely. We will take a break here on the Darling Down Low. It's all thanks to Aquis, Australia's leading stallion facility. Other side of the break, we'll come back and Shane will have his tips for all seven races on the card tonight at Clifford Park.
You're listening to the Darling Down Low on SEN Track.
And it's thanks to Aquis, Queensland's largest stallion facility, home to Piarata, Invader, Brave Smash, Dubious and more. Visit aquisfarm.com. Shane, a seven-race card tonight. The first of those is at 6 minutes past five. Before we get your tips for all seven, how are the confidence levels heading into this afternoon?
Well, I'm certainly not going to put my neck on the chopping block like I did last week and say how confident I am. I'll just, medium confidence level this week. There's competitive racing this week. I think there's a couple of chances in most races. So pressure's on to get the right one, I suppose.
Yep.
Bounce back.
We start with the first, as is often the case. It is over 1,200 metres, a benchmark 70, and the first starts at 6 minutes past five.
I'm going to go with the one on top here for my Annie. Angela Jones, 58.5 after the claim. Look, this is a bit of a track specialist, this horse. Been here three times for three wins. One start, one win over the track and distance as well. Obviously dropping in grade from a good effort last time at Eagle Farm in a benchmark 75. It was just beaten a length on that occasion. Drops back to a bench 70 grade here. I think five Exceed Rock probably finds the fence, and with a clean getaway, I think four Miami can go and sit, you know, possibly outside it. And if he can begin clean and get outside the leader, I think it'll be much stronger than Exceed Rock. over the concluding stages over 1200. So one for my Annie to kick off the night with a, that would make it like eight female jockeys winning races in a row.
Well, yeah, Ange Jones on on board. When did she, her claim would be reducing soon, wouldn't it? I mean, she's ridden that many winners. She's had a great start to her career. It can't be far away.
It seems like every week. I was just having a quick look at the stats where she seems to be riding, particularly at the provincials. Like the last 50, she's ridden 10 winners. She's striking at 20%.
I know.
22% for the last 12 months. So it can't be far away. 60, what has she ridden? 65 winners in the last 12 months, 11 winners this season. So we'll have to find out about that one, see how long we've got that 2 kilos left.
Yeah. Now, that is the first. The second is also over 1,200 metres, but this is a maiden at 5:37.
Number seven, Black Monaco. Angela Jones on board for Lindsay Hatch. Look, I think this thing will bounce to the front. I did have a good look at the horses that were in the yard on that Tuesday meeting. I just thought this horse would take a lot of improvement from its first start run. It was only beaten two lengths. That wasn't far away, but I certainly think it'll come on here. Looks the leader, or certainly on speed, and with 53.5 kilos, it's certainly well in. I think the horse to beat, he's number one, Boom Bye Bye. It was a bit of a sick watch for those that were on it, come out of the same race as Black Monaco. It sort of got held up in behind them, and when the jockey went to come around the leaders, the leaders drifted out. She had to duck back to the inside and was beaten a very short margin. Look, it should have won. There's no doubt about that. Gate five, I think you can cross a couple that are inside it here and just sort of tuck in behind the speed. So I think Black Monaco will be out in front. And Boom Bye Bye will be the one, you know, charging late, trying to knock it over. But just with that bit of fitness on its side and the map advantage, I'm leading seven Black Monaco just ahead of one Boom Bye Bye. And I think that's the race. There's no other winning hopes, I don't think.
Okay. Well, I agree with the first. For my Annie is my tip in the first. So race one, number one. But I'm sticking with Boom Bye Bye, race two, number one. So one of us will get it right. So you're going Black Monaco, number seven.
Surely.
And... Well, you'd like to think so, wouldn't you? Particularly after you've gone out on a limb and said nothing else can win. But there you go. Race two, number seven, you're with Black Monaco. Race two, number one, Boom Bye Bye for me. Now, the third at 6:10 is over 1,000 metres. It's a maiden.
Yeah, this is a tough race, actually. There's a number of horses here that are first up or trialled or jumped out. So it's sort of hard, difficult to get a line on. The one I'm interested in is, I want to have a look at this horse and see what the market thinks as we get closer to jump time. Number one, Because of the Night. Now, on paper, it doesn't look like it did anything flash on debut. Third of three, beaten 10.8 lengths. But it was a complete forgive run. I think the saddle slipped that day, and it was a horribly nasty ride for Ange Jones to navigate. So it was a complete forgive. The interesting thing there was it was pretty well supported, even though, like I said, it was only a three-horse race. It was pretty well supported, and there's anticipation that it would run really well. So that was interesting to note. I've been looking forward to seeing this horse coming back. The four Piccanini is another one that's it's only had the one run, ran third at Gatton's, come back, and its trial was good. Number five, Zuma California is another horse that, well, they've beaten a margin in a barrier trial. It has showed a little bit of ability in the jump outs as well. So really difficult race to pinpoint one, but I suppose I've got to put one on top, don't I? So I'll go with the one Because of the Night, but just keep an eye on the market there, because if it is firm in the market and there is support for it, I expect it to run really well.
Race three, number one, Because the Night. We head now to the fourth, which is a class three over 1,850 metres.
Yeah, I've ended up here on number one, Ultimate Power. It's consistent. It had been consistent without winning, and then last Saturday night it chased what was wasn't a hot speed, but it was on speed, and they were still strong enough at the end. I think it put up a really strong performance. I think the claim for Angela Jones here is super important, because it actually dropped to 57 kilos off its last start win. I think that's an important particularly because it's an on-speed runner. So it looks to me where it can go forward and get across here. Depend on what happens with Star Center and Basil, both horses drawn outside it, both can roll forward. I wouldn't be surprised to see Star Center, you know, roll forward and probably take up the lead. I think it's ready to do something. It, when it got up to this trip last preparation, did lead here and just got beat. It was going back, you know, earlier in the year, but it's had three runs back from a spell. And whilst, you know, the form says it's got beaten seven lengths in each run back, I think it'll run well here, particularly with the claim and on speed with no weight. I think the six will be hard enough to beat. But, look, I'm happy to go with number one here, Ultimate Power. I think he can just trail the speed and get over the top of them late to beat Star Center. And I think number two, Zamosa, back in trip from a couple of 2,400-metre runs, hasn't been disgraced its last three, you know, making ground. So I think, you know, 1850 at Toowoomba is, you know, suitable enough for it too. And I think you can run into the placings, but Ultimate Power on top.
And potentially a big night for Ange Jones because she's on Ultimate Power again in the four. So race four, number one, Ultimate Power. Let's head to the fifth, which is over 1,050. It's a class one.
Yeah, I just, like every time I look at the race, I end up sort of leaning towards Angela Jones and Lindsay Hatch, and I'm sort of leaning this way again. Although this is a much more open race, I think. Like it was backed very strongly last start at Warwick. You know, most of the other horses that were in the market sort of drifted, and this one stayed very, very firm. Got the job done. It was only an 800-metre race maiden grade, so it's got to step up here. But I thought its win was good enough. It was never really getting beat. It was only half a length margin in the end, but I just don't think it was really getting beat at any point. It could sort of sit back a little bit here, probably off a decent tempo. I think sort of numbers three and eight can go forward. It can sort of cross the ones inside it, maybe slot in somewhere. Pretty even sort of race, so sort of whichever gets the right run. Dad's Lad and Kabang, I think, are the two hardest to beat. Kabang come through the Warwick race where Festival Prince beat Go Wonji. And I think that'll be a pretty strong, well, we've seen it's a pretty strong form race. Obviously, we spoke about Go Wonji earlier, and Festival Prince won at Ipswich on Wednesday. Did a bit wrong and was still far, far too good for them in pretty quick time. So, you know, that's a sort of back to class one grade will suit it. But I just think Devil's Right is sort of maybe a bit of an improver, and it takes a little bit of weight off the other two in the market. So I'll go with seven on top, hardest to beat, two and one.
Seven, Devil's Right in the fifth. Now, I know in the sixth, which is a benchmark 60 over 1,625, you are very keen, and maybe this is your best of the night, isn't it?
It is. Number four, Drop the Pilot. We've spoken about this show. I think we might have made this a horse to follow earlier a few weeks back. Yep. So two runs resuming from a spell, both over 1,200 metres, and it's always looked like a horse that would want further. Gets to a mile third up. Was scratched earlier in the week to come here. Look, I think most people would have saw it, working home late behind Dynamic Duo last time at Toowoomba. Its last 400 in particular was pretty strong. Yeah. Look, I know it's not a big field here, but there's enough speed here with Louis LaJoy and Espresso Love. You know, we'll be going forward and putting some speed on. So Drop the Pilot will be back, but I think it's just going to be too strong for them here. Just having a look at the sectional data that I use at punting form, you know, it's sort of broken the class benchmark, like seven lengths faster than benchmark running home. Its last 600, its last two starts, screaming out for the mile. It gets it here. It'll get a nice soft running transit from gate one. We just need Nathan Day to just navigate his way off the fence, come into the 600, and he should get over the top of him. Race six, number four, Drop the Pilot is my best.
There you go. And the final race, the 20-9 tonight, is a maiden over 1,625 metres.
Two winning hopes for me. One St. Moritz and two Canny Cat. I really like the gear change of the two Canny Cat with the blinkers off here and the nose roll. Sort of dashed up early at Warwick, like, sort of let go from the 600. Got to the leaders pretty quickly and just thought for a stride or two that that Sky might have just held him up a little bit. But she pressed on, and then almost like the horse sort of half waited for them a bit there. And Vlad King was able to run it down late. I don't think stepping up to a mile will be an issue. I think she gets a nice run from the gate. I think it'll be hard to beat. So I'm going to put Canny Cat on top, just over one St. Moritz. Now, it went around as a $1.20, $1.16 favourite, actually, at Toowoomba last start. Now, it looked to me in the parade that it would still take some benefit from the run. And it was only the last little bit where the leader sort of kicked back and beat it. I think the 1600 third up, fitter now, blinkers going back on. I think it's clearly the horse to beat. It probably leads in a race. Looks like the void is only speed. So I think St. Moritz will probably lead, and Canny Cat will be the one trying to run it down. And I think Canny Cat will be sort of better at sort of chasing one down. A couple of times now this preparation, it's sort of been in a race where it's, you know, hitting the front of the 200 and breaking clear, and it looked like it sort of half waited for them. It's last 50 metres, last 100 metres. So I think Canny Cat having a bunny to chase here will be the difference, and I think it can win. So number two, Canny Cat, just over one St. Moritz in the last.
Okay, so that is race one, number one, race two, number seven, race three, number one, race four, number one, race five, number seven, race six, number four, Drop the Pilot, Your Best, and race seven, number two, the meeting at Clifford Park this afternoon. Your thoughts before we let you go, mates? Any thoughts, first of all, on, I know we spoke briefly about it at the top of the show. Thoughts on the Golden Eagle and Apache Chase?
Yeah, look, I suppose it gets to the right conditions, doesn't it? It gets a firm track and it gets itself up on speed, and it's very tough to get past. You've seen it in all its runs. You just sort of got to go off that run at Eagle Farm where it beat Ayrton when Ayrton was up here and a $3 favourite for the Stradbroke at the time. I think a repeat of that performance, and, you know, it's going to be very hard to beat. I think it'll look the winner at a point. And obviously good luck to all the connections, and all the Queenslanders will be giving it a parochial cheer at the 250 when it's a length in front and going for home.
Absolutely. And incentivise in the Cup on Tuesday. Final words, final thoughts.
Well, geez, the more you read about what's going on about its rivals, the shorter price favourite it's going to become. There's been issues with lameness and the CT scans and the x-rays. And yeah, it's all falling into place for it, isn't it? It just seems to be ticking over without any hiccups. And I would rather have a ticket on him than any other horse.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that.
Yep, it's going to be an extraordinary performance for something to beat it, but it's also an extraordinary performance when you consider where Incentivise has come from. It's just one of those great racing stories. And once again, the Melbourne Cup delivers on Tuesday, but seven races tonight at Clifford Park. Good luck, mate. Enjoy it, and we'll chat again next week.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Mark.
Good on you, mate. That is all we have time for on today's edition of the Darling Down Low. Have yourself a great day of racing. It's all been thanks to Aquis, Australia's leading stallion facility, home to Pierata, Invader, Brave Smash, Dubious, and more. Visit aquisfarm.com. Happy punting, everyone. We'll catch you next Saturday morning.